98. Every morning from 10, 98FM's Dublin Talks keeps you up to date with COVID-19. Dublin Talks. Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.
You may have been paying attention to the news over the last 24 hours and some kind of shocking revelations in the press conference from the Department of Health yesterday with regard to case numbers of COVID-19. 24 cases yesterday, all of them under the age of 45, and 77% of them even younger again, under 25. And it is a kind of a worrying trend, I suppose. The case numbers are going up, not dramatically, but certainly not going down, let's put it that way. And we know last weekend we saw the scenes of large gatherings in the city outside pubs and stuff like that. And the worry is that if those things are repeated, it could be very worrying. Let's have a listen to Dr. Ronan Glynn. He is the acting chief medical officer, speaking at yesterday's press conference. Firstly, about the case numbers.
All of the cases today are aged less than 44 years of age. That's the first time that's happened since, or certainly in the past, a long number of months. That's the first time I recall that situation. There are a variety of contributing factors. Clearly, a good number of the cases are directly or indirectly related to travel. But many of these cases are also linked through groups having met up. We can all get on with the activities that we want to get on with, but we need to do so safely in the context of where we're at with this pandemic. If we try to go back to living and acting like we did last January, it is only a matter of time before we're facing a significant problem with this disease. We've got cases in a number of locations around the country linked to a cluster this evening. That demands a huge amount of resource to track down contacts, further cases. And if that replicates itself over the coming days and weeks, we will be back in a situation that we'd be very concerned about.
Back in a situation that we'd be very concerned about, which in itself is concerning to even hear him say. Dr. Glynn also spoke about the fact that we're out and about much more now, but he had a word of caution.
So, well, I'm not speaking about pubs specifically in relation to this, and the information today isn't specifically in relation to pubs. Obviously, watching very closely what happens this weekend. As I said, the priority, I think, across society is to get schools back, to get children back, to get health services back up and running, to ensure that the vast majority of people in this country can get back to as normal a life as possible. And all sectors have to play their part. And the decisions in relation to pubs in particular, those decisions, or those recommendations, will be considered by NPHET next week.
Now, one of the things that Dr. Glynn did say is that if we think we can go back to the way things were in January, think again, basically, that we can't. And as we know, last weekend, well, 2 weeks ago nearly, the restaurants reopened and pubs that serve food reopened. We know there's been some issues with some pubs, but no sooner have the pubs reopened and there are calls being made to shut them back down again. A professor of public health and epidemiology, Rory Brewer from the Royal College of Surgeons of Ireland, is calling for the pubs to shut down again, saying that our health workers deserve better. He has spoken out about the scenes that were witnessed outside our pubs. We also heard many stories, as I said, of many pubs breaching social distancing guidelines. And Professor Brewer joins me on the line. Good morning, Professor Brewer, and welcome to 98FM.
Thank you, Adrian.
People will be shocked to hear calls for the pubs to be shut down again only 2 weeks after they reopened.
Where the mistake was made was moving forward the opening of the pubs, which was due to happen on the 20th of July. And by inviting pubs to sort of redesignate themselves as restaurants, and on the basis the guidelines they received had been issued only 10 days before this 29th June reopening was to occur. So really we were in the worst of both worlds, because around 3,000 or 3,500 pubs reopened. The others didn't. Even before they reopened, there were concerns expressed by the industry, by vintners, that some of the pubs that reopened would be the ones that were least prepared. And in fact, that many pubs decided not to reopen at this early point because they didn't feel they'd been given enough time to prepare for it. And that was the case. And since then, we're hearing the same messages. And it's now being reinforced by a very good program of visits, investigations by the Gardaí. This is Operation Navigation, which is confirming that those measures that are in the guidelines around distancing and around taking the names and contact details are being flouted on many occasions. And the guards have gone back to revisit pubs again and again. So they are doing a good job trying to bring control. But actually, there are faults with the guidelines as well. There are some major gaps in the guidelines.
Okay, now you describe it as short-term, short-sighted commercial interests could undermine the health of the population and the long-term survival of the pub sector. In other words, rushing into reopening is ultimately going to hurt the industry.
I believe it is. And I actually think we're hearing those voices from within the industry who are expressing concern that a few bad apples are actually going to spoil it for the rest of them. They themselves felt, and I must say, looking at the guidelines, that 10 days was really not enough time to put in place sort of standard operating procedures, training programs, communication plans meant to communicate to customers as well as staff. And then there are major gaps in the guidelines. These guidelines were not produced by the Department of Health. They were produced by Ireland's National Tourist Authority, FOIL to Ireland, supported by the Department of Tourism. And in the piece that I wrote, which really is, we need to be waving a red flag now for some of the reasons you've announced. But I put in three suggestions to improve the guidelines. One, we need to be screening all would-be customers when they arrive at the door of the pub, and let every pub have a bouncer, a man or woman at the front there. Check, is this customer that had any symptoms that might be suggestive of COVID? A quick temperature check. This is done in other settings. Is this person already well on the way on his pre-booked pub crawl and maybe shouldn't be allowed in because he's already taken too much alcohol?
Okay, so essentially what you're saying is that we need to shut down the pubs again to give them more time to be more prepared to open. Is that it?
Yes, and I think this may well happen. I call for it to happen this weekend and suggested to wait until the end of the August bank holiday. It's a very bad idea to do what England did, to open on a Friday or a Saturday. I think NEFID, and they've indicated, as we could hear from Dr. Ronan Glynn, they are going to be looking closely at it and are going to be making a decision probably next Friday coming in advance of the 20th. And I think there are real reasons to fear now. We're seeing the virus already in the community. Some of it is being imported, and we're going to talk a little bit about flights coming in from abroad. And we're seeing this shift in the cases that are already here in the country towards younger people, who are the kinds of people who are going to go out and congregate together. And pubs are not the only risky area. I mean, house parties are even riskier. So we really need to get a handle on that. But the problem with the pubs is that they are poorly ventilated in many cases. They are noisy. And this is one of the factors associated with droplet spread. It's the noise level in pubs. And none of this has been looked at in the guidelines.
Okay, now let's look at the premises that have reopened. And I've been in three different premises since they reopened. And I can say in all three, in fact, I went to my local last night. It was a very different experience to what I was used to. We sat down, we had our dinner, the tables were well spaced out. It was very well organised. And in fact, I can say that for the three premises that I've been in since the restaurants and pubs reopened. All run very well. Having said that, I haven't been in the city centre at the weekend, so I'm relying on what other people have told me. Is it realistic to suggest shutting down places that are actually doing it right?
I think it's going to be very difficult for the guards to make a decision around that. all the guards can do, and they've done a really good job, is to do spot checks. But the sorts of measures that need to be in place are ones that are not yet in place, because pubs haven't received comprehensive guidance. It was always said from the beginning that any of the measures that were relaxed might need to be reintroduced if there were signs that the virus was getting out of control again. If they closed down, let's say, next week on the 20th for a period of at least 2 weeks, you know, because that's the virus incubation period, that at least gives time to put, you know, good systems in place. And ultimately, this is about...
But what I'm asking is the
sector, as well as the public health.
Okay, but what I'm asking is, what about the places that already have good systems in place? And the only thing that... the place I was in last night, which, as I said, I class as my local, the only thing they weren't doing that you're calling for is a temperature check at the door. But they did everything else. They took names, email addresses, contact numbers, all of that. And it was very well spaced compared to what it used to be. So what about those places that have really put the work in to getting it right?
Yeah, and by the way, I would include sound level monitoring, which might seem a little bit of an unusual one, but this is definitely one we know from other examples that the loudness with which people speak is directly correlated with droplet spread and therefore a virus spread. I think the pubs have been put in a really difficult situation now, because some of them didn't open up because they felt that they weren't prepared. Others put in a lot of effort and a lot of money. I know I've been reading some of the online comments. Charlie Chalk, who has a number of high-profile pubs, has invested something like €40,000 in opening up. But the problem is that these other places, you only need 10% of pubs to be flouting the guidelines. And it's quite clear, even from the industry, that there are pubs flouting the guidelines. I mean, 26 are already going to be brought up before the courts by the guards. But this, you know, you can't be waiting for a case to come up several weeks later, or for a license that's going to be renewed in September.
Okay, so we need to strike now.
We need to act quickly.
Okay, now, as we know, the pubs that don't serve food, your average pub, is due to open on Monday week. And
yes.
Dr. Glynn said that NPHET will announce their decision or recommendation on that. You clearly don't want those pubs to be allowed to open on Monday week.
I think the time will tell. I think there's enough that we can see from the types of settings that are going to set off this wildfire. At the moment, we have burning embers. It's rather like the fires in Australia last year. And the burning embers are the circulating virus. But what will set this off as wildfires that will consume, in effect, it'll consume the viability of this sector, are just pubs that... we end up with 10, 12, 15 cases. Now, the thing is, we're not going to see those cases for another few weeks, but I believe that NPHET will be doing checks where the cases are arising. And if they see evidence that, for instance, in England last week, they had four pubs that reported cases of COVID-19 literally within the first couple of days of opening up. So I think NPHET are going to look quite closely at this. And if they see any of the warning signs, They, I believe that they will postpone to make sure that we put much better systems in place.
Okay, now just before I let you go, in a moment I'm going to be focusing on flights. And we are reporting that a flight arrived into Dublin Airport this morning from Dallas, Texas. And as we know, Texas as a state in America has been very badly hit in the last couple of weeks by COVID-19, the highest cases in the whole of the states. What is your view? By the way, we understand there was only 16 people on the plane, which isn't a huge amount, but those 16 people are in the main tourists coming to Ireland for a little holiday. What is your view on that?
Yeah, I would be very concerned about this, Adrian, and thanks for alerting us to it. I think the media have played a stellar role in terms of raising issues like this. We know already that, as we heard from Dr. Glynn, that something like 15 to 20% of cases now reporting over the last month are imported cases. Texas is a very high, reporting place for COVID-19. The systems we put in place were probably adequate at the time, several weeks ago. Now we have to improve them. Now we can either go the whole hog, the way Southeast Asia has gone, and introduce full mandatory quarantines. New Zealand has done this. But there is another level.
When we talk about mandatory quarantines, and theoretically, when people come into this country, they've to quarantine for 2 weeks. But we all know that the way that system is operating is literally filling out a piece of paper. It's not being enforced. You can give your mobile phone number and she could be lying on the beach down in Killarney when the HSE call you. My own parents only recently came back from Australia and they got 2 phone calls during the 2 weeks, but they could have been anywhere. They could have even left the country again. Do you know what I mean? So how would you like to see the mandatory quarantine being enforced? Do we take over all of the hotels near the airport and throw people in there?
Well, actually, my colleague, Professor Sam Conkey, said we need to be thinking along these measures, and he said it 2 months ago. No, we can move to the next stage now. Instead of saying a mandatory enforced 14-day quarantine, virus testing, which is now our capacity to do it, is improved a lot. It isn't an absolute foolproof measure, but 2 tests, either when you arrive at Dublin Airport or Cork or wherever, you have a certificate to show that you had a test within the previous 3 days. You would then require another test. If you arrive without that certificate, one test alone at the airport would not be sufficient. These tests can be turned around within 24 hours. You would need a second test 3 or 4 days later. So you could have an enforced quarantine of 3 to 4 days. Mm-hmm. And yes, let's look at the hotels at the airport. If we're going to rely on this self-isolation, then we really do have to have daily checks, and there need to be sort of measures there, such as if you are not where you said you were for those 4 days.
But the only way that can be proven is if somebody. The only way that can be proven is if a Garda or whatever knocks at the front door. And I can tell you, in the case of my parents, in the 2 weeks they were in self-isolation, nobody called to their front door.
Well, indeed, no. We have a much more lax system just based on people being honest. No, if we're going to introduce a more stringent system, the value of the virus testing, this is not antibody testing, the virus testing could shorten the period of quarantine.
Okay, so we need to test people when they arrive, test them again 3 days later, and in those 3 days keep them locked in a hotel or whatever, and once they're clear, then they're good to go.
Or if we decide that we're not going to have the mandatory at the hotel, at the airport, then there needs to be a check each day, including by the local guard, and not the current rather lax system.
Mm, okay, all right. It's been fascinating talking to you, Professor.
Adrian,
go on. Yep.
Yeah, no, I just think I'd give one example, because I think a lot of people feel that, we have so few cases now and the pubs feel safe. We are actually in the same situation that South Korea was in mid-May. We're seeing the cases creep up. And I've gone back and I've looked at the daily cases in Korea. Mm. But what happened on the weekend at 16th, 17th of May? One person who visited 5 nightclubs, a mixture of nightclubs and bars, was responsible for infecting 160 people. 46,000 people had to be traced and tracked. That is the power of this virus.
Wow.
We can't afford to pussyfoot around with it, or else the second wave will come. And those parents who are listening, who are looking forward to their children going back to school, may find that will be under threat. And we may be seeing lockdown of parts of the country. No, we're in a great place here, but boy, do we have to protect it.
All right. Professor Rory Brewer, thank you very much indeed for talking to us on 98FM. And a reaction to what the professor has been saying, let's have a listen to this from Pascal.
We're still pointing the finger to the restaurant and pubs, but maybe we should have a look to the supermarket. Supermarkets are a joke at the moment. Supermarket is a shop. People bring in kids, people do nothing to, no distance, social distancing whatsoever. So I think restaurants and pub being accused is just a joke.
Okay, let's have a listen to this message from Thomas.
Who has a pub premises? It was closed down through the COVID. He only bought the premises probably a year ago, and he kind of rented and done it up to try and make it be a proper facility. He never took a wage from it, so he wasn't entitled to any COVID payment when it closed down. But he's back open now because he has a restaurant and new chefs after investing everything he has in it. So they could, for him to close down again, he said he's just going to walk away from it. It's just not feasible. People just have to realise that, like, it's people's livelihoods. It's not, I know there's health issues, but like, he's put everything in place to make everything, do all the social distance and everything. But like, people just have to realise this, like, it's people's livelihoods and everything, they invested everything into these places. Like, you can't just close them down with a click of a fingers.
All right, Thomas, thanks very much indeed. The question we're asking really is, you know, when we look to Monday week, all of the rest of the pubs are due to be allowed to reopen. And we're asking, should they be allowed to reopen? Or is it too soon? Are you a little bit concerned? I'd love to hear from you. 6797981 is our telephone number. And we will come back as well to talk about that flight that arrived in from Dallas, Texas this morning. We've been listening to Professor Rory Brewer explain how he believes that the pubs need to be shut back down again, unfortunately. Sorry to report that. The reason he argues is that proper systems are not yet in place. Now, I did argue that certainly anywhere I have been in the last 2 weeks, I felt it was very well run, very well organised, very different to the experience of previously. And I know, for example, as I said, I was in my own local in the Cool Key Lodge last night, and they have just played a blinder. The way it is organised, the way the tables are spaced out, everything is just top notch. I mean, for example, there's no salt and pepper shakers. You have to use sachets and lots of different things in place. So a lot of places have done it right. And the worry, obviously, is it's a bit unfair on those who have done it right to talk about shutting them down again. But we're also asking, with the rest of the pubs, the ones that don't serve food, the ordinary pub that just sells alcohol, they're due to open on Monday week. Should they be allowed to reopen on Monday week? That's really the question we're asking. Neil, you believe that they should all be shut back down again.
Good morning. Unfortunately, this is why we can't have nice things. I'm sure you're, whatever you're, the booze, you're the Cookie Lodge.
Yes, that's right. Yep,
I'm sure it runs. I'm sure it's run perfectly, and I'm sure everyone's local is run well. But there, you know, I live out in beautiful Bray, and you know, some are run well and some are not. You can't risk it. That's the problem. It's the same with the masks. You know what I mean? We need to just kind of grin and bear it for a little while. Everyone loves a pint. Everyone loves to go to the boozer, meet their mates, all that sort of stuff. But we're getting too close, and we're nearly licking each other in the boozer again. We're going back to January, and it's not good. You know, this is not something that's going away.
Well, anyway, like I said, with the few places I've been in over the last 2 weeks, and I'll name the places I've been in. I've been in the Snail Box restaurant. Perfect. Well run, well organised. I was in the Hairy Lemon, just across the road from us here in the city centre. Perfect. Well organised, well spaced, food served, everything else. And my own local, the Cool Key Lodge, I was in last night. Perfect. So the point I'm making is, in those three premises that I personally have been in, they were all run exactly to the guidelines and people behaved accordingly. Seems a little bit unfair to punish them.
Oh, it is 100% unfair, but the problem is this is not a fair situation. We have to start from there. Like, this is not, you know, a virus doesn't go into a pub and say, right, everything is set up fine, I'm going to leave. You know what I mean? We don't know where everyone's been before that. It doesn't matter if there's, you know, perspex beside you or whatever. As soon as you go out the door to another pub or whatever, you could be all over the next person. It's not something that, viruses aren't fair, basically. And unfortunately, in order to kind of reset, like we did before, I'm not saying go back to lockdown, stuff like that. We don't need to do that. The work was done. But I think, you know, you can't assume that a virus is going to treat everything fairly.
Okay, so while there are cases still out there, and like we said, we saw 24 cases yesterday, you think we need to pull back a little bit? And the little bit is stopping the pubs from allowing people to gather in any way.
Yeah, a little bit, because if you look at the ages of the cases over the last little while, it's dropping. So it's not just old people now, it's young people in the boozer. So, like, it's, you know what I mean? it's not fair. It's not a fair situation, but we have to deal with it. That's kind of it. You know what I mean? We have to be grown-ups here. And if we keep going the way we're going, we'll find out why we can't have nice things like pubs to go to. So,
okay, but stay there for 1 second. Let's have a listen to this WhatsApp voice note from Lorraine.
Hi, Adrian. I think at the end of the day, you know, you have these greedy publicans. They don't care about contract tracing and they don't take people's names and addresses at the doors or where they live. I know my local doesn't, and I know a few others that don't as well. So, I mean, the guards need to step up to the plate and do their job, get in there and close the places down. They know by looking at people, they're not there 90 minutes only drinking, that they're there longer, and they have to do their job. They have to be fined, and the people that are there on the premises have to be fined as well. If this virus goes communalised, we have a hope in hell, and really vulnerable people and vulnerable young children will get it as well and will possibly die.
Right. Thank you, Lorraine. Michael, you wanted to get in on this. Neil was saying a moment ago that unfortunately we can't have nice things because people don't know how to behave themselves, essentially. What did you want to say?
Yeah, well, I just personally think it's like if you look at the stats in America, he's talking about the rate of COVID cases going well up. But nobody's mentioning about the COVID cases going up and the death rate's coming down. So therefore, the death rate is now proven to be lower than the actual flu. So
yes, that's right.
We're slowing the country down. If the yes, the cases, they are doing more testing in America, will bring the death rate down, which proves it's not as lethal as they're saying it is.
Or that they've learned how to treat it somewhat and prevent people from dying. And you're right in what you say, that the proportion of people dying is coming down, which is great news, which means it's not as lethal as you said. But people are still dying. 6 people reported yesterday as having died from this virus.
Right, but is that correct? Because in Redcard week that they're putting people that who has the antibodies in the people who has other underlying conditions, he's putting it down as death from COVID. So are we being lied to? Is that the truth? He's admitting last week that the numbers are wrong. Why isn't the whole country back open? So we're getting misinformation left, right and centre.
It sounds to me that you believe we should leave things as they are and allow everywhere to reopen.
100%. But there's a bigger picture here that everybody's missing. Everybody's missing the bigger picture. While everybody's focusing on this COVID, so the world, there's an elite pedophile ring being brought down around the world. Why isn't anybody talking about that?
We're not going to be talking about that, Michael. Now, I was having a sensible conversation with you just there. just went left to centre. But anyway, Danielle, you're on 98FM. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Danielle. What did you want to say on this?
I believe with that last guy for opening up the country, I think it should be open back up. I don't think we should be horizontal. Keep your hand washing, keep your bacteria, if you want to, on your hands and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, businesses are suffering. We are seeing that. I know that people are suffering.
And by the way, even some premises that have reopened are suffering because they don't have the same volume of customers that they would have had before.
But they're picking on pubs. And like I've seen the pictures in town there the other day. And the only time I seen that was Paddy's Day when the crowds are like that. Open the pubs and let them social distance and be there. And just because.
But isn't the worry, though, and this is what the professor was saying, isn't the worry that when it comes to pubs and when it comes to alcohol, people just don't? That's
okay,
it's as simple as that.
Are they having house parties at home and inviting their friends?
Yeah, they are.
They're not
yeah.
even getting a measure of 35 mils or a pint. They're making their own, and I'm not going to lie, I don't pour a 35 mil measure myself. But you're going to have more trouble and more people at parties. So if they're in a pub, you know, they
at least you have some control.
If you're handing it out a hatch, then people are going to say, oh, I can actually stay here. I'll take 3 now, and then I'll go back for another 3. Hence why the crowds came. At this point, I think the country should be back open. It's not fair on the pubs, but yet the hotels can open, or the swimming pools and gyms can open, but the pubs can't. You know, okay, I know there's alcohol involved there, but so do the hotels. You can go and get messy in a hotel. Even if it's in your room, if you have to take it to your room at some stage, you can still get drunk and not make the right decision. But also they're saying about the Irish people not travelling and not going abroad, but yet planes from other countries are coming in. You can't penalise one and let another one in. Close it all or open it all. Enough is enough.
Okay, so the rise in cases doesn't concern you too much, no?
No, the rise in cases don't, because I know, like, if you think about it, we're all sitting in our houses, it's not going to rise very much. If we're out and about, it's going to rise. I'd be same with the fella that was just on there, sorry, can't remember his name, but I'd be looking at the deaths more so. And don't get me wrong, one death to any family and friends is one too many, but they are very low if you're just not talking with a heart and just talking numbers. I'm not a heartless person. I do understand that one death is one too many. But like that as well, I am questioning the numbers, especially when Neo comes out and says, oh, we've been adding extras in and there could be a possible 500 that didn't even have COVID. I do think take it serious, but I think they blew it way out of proportion. And maybe they did good, and maybe that's why we're not like somewhere else. But you have to look at the number thing as well, not just with your heart, a bit of both and a bit of cop on. Do the hand washing, do your hand sanitizer, but we have to get back to some normal.
Let me ask you, Danielle, about a completely separate issue, and that is a fact, that a flight arrived into Dublin this morning from Dallas, Texas, in the United States. We understand there were 16 people on the plane, which doesn't seem like an awful lot, but it's 16 nonetheless, and most of them are tourists coming for a little hollier here in Ireland. What's your thoughts on that, considering Texas is the hardest hit in America at the moment?
Well, I think that, like, if planes are coming from Texas and anywhere else in the world, stop making the Irish feeling bad if they want to travel. If you don't want to travel, I'm not going to give you a mouthful. So why would I give anybody a mouthful that wants to leave Ireland? If you're letting tourists in here because we need that industry, well, then other places need that industry too. And other people, we talked about it yesterday. I listened to your show quite a lot. And can we get cheaper holidays elsewhere? Stop making the Irish feel like we're not. If I went abroad now and I took it, right, and I got it over somewhere else and I brought it back, okay, that can happen. But letting that plane in from Dallas with those 15 people, they could all have it and bring it here. It's not just the Irish that are going to bring it back to their own country.
Absolutely.
If every other plane coming in could all bring it back. So that's why I say you either stop kind of like pussyfooting around and you close it fully, if that's what they want, or you open it fully.
All right, Danielle, I'd like to hear from you on this on 6797981. You can text, WhatsApp, or send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 98 98 98. Let's play a few of your WhatsApp voice notes. This is from Mark.
Hi, Adrian. It's clear to see that the government got this wrong yet again. Another thing they got wrong with COVID-19, not thinking outside the box at all, because the simple fact is... The government should have opened up everything at one time, not just certain things, because if you open up everything, well, then people have places to go. People dissipate. They decide to go to the cinema, decide to go to the gym. But if you only open up a certain amount of pubs, well, then there's only a certain amount of places for people to go. So why didn't they just open up all bars, all restaurants, all cinemas, all gyms, everything that people needed to do with their lives? And that way, some people who would have preferred to go to the gym would have went to the gym instead of gone to the one pub in the area that was only open. So that's how ridiculous that was. That's another thing that the government got wrong. And in order to contain the virus, the spread of it, they should open up everything. Let everything open up again and ask people to be sensible about stuff. But don't just open up a few little places and expect people to just, oh, well, I won't go out because the government said it. That's ridiculous. It's like telling people now, oh, just stay at home for holidays. If people can't get the chance to go away on a holiday now, they're going to take the chance to go away on a holiday now. That's ridiculous, telling people to stay at home. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Otherwise, just close down the airport. Like, what's that about? So they should have just opened up society and that's it.
All right, Mark, I know an awful lot of people agree with what you're saying. John sent me this.
Adrian, your last speaker was saying about bouncers screening and testing people coming into bars and restaurants. Surely be to God, this has to be done in the airport, screening people coming in here. It's a joke at the moment.
Okay. Tony has a staycation booked, but he'll cancel it if the pubs close again.
Hey, lads. In my opinion now, I have a staycation booked end of July, early August, so if this comes in, I'll be cancelling that anyway. I couldn't be bothered. Where I'm going down south is only a small little place and there'll be very little else to do, but a few restaurants, a few bars. So it'll be like a Good Friday for 2 weeks, so I'd rather just cancel it and sit at home. Cheers, lads.
All right, Tony, thanks very much indeed. This is from Aisling.
Hi there. I don't actually blame the pubs. Look at all the estates that had the bingo going and still have the bingo going. And then by the time it's finished, they're all dancing and hugging on the streets.
All right. And finally, on the pubs, this
How's
is
going,
Aaron.
Adrian, Aaron here. Look, the point Lorraine was making there about the guards going in and checking out the pubs, I just personally don't think that's going to work. We need to organise something like the way they would check kitchens, like the HSE would come in or whatever would come in. They do general health checks on everything and make sure everything's above board. That's the only way it's going to work, because the guards know the publicans. They know that they've been under pressure the last 3 or 4 months. I personally don't think they are going to start kicking people out of pubs, because let's be real, you know, any business that is opening up now has been struggling for the last 3 or 4 months. So that's my opinion on it anyway.
All right, a quick break. I want to take a couple of calls on your with your thoughts on flights coming in from the States. From in particular this morning, 16 people arriving into Ireland on, it's not an awful lot on a big aeroplane, but 16 people nonetheless arrived into Ireland today from Dallas, Texas. And if you've been following the news, you will know that at this moment, Dallas, or Texas as a state in America, is in a really bad way with COVID-19. And it makes you think back to when we had flights coming in from Italy back in March. If you look at arrivals into Dublin Airport for today, you will see flights have arrived from New York, although that flight's been running all the way through the COVID lockdown. Chicago, Newark in New York as well. A flight arrived in from Dallas in Texas at 25 to 8 this morning into Dublin Airport. Now, we understand that that particular flight, and the reason we mentioned that particular flight is it's from Texas, and the latest figures of COVID-19 in Texas, very, very scary figures, it has to be said, an immense amount of COVID-19. They're literally rising by the day. Anyhow, to see a flight like that arriving into the country with only 16 people on it, which isn't an awful lot, but 16 people coming from a state in America that has very high cases of COVID-19, 241,000 to be precise. And, you know, you talk about, we've talked about flattening the curve and all of that. If you look at the graph for cases from Texas, it's extraordinarily worrying. Put it this way, if it was ours, we would be very, very concerned. They have thousands of cases every single day. Anyway, when you hear of flights arriving like that from somewhere like Dallas, Texas, does that worry you? Teresa, you're on 98 FM. Hiya, Teresa.
Hiya, how's it going?
Now, you are arguing that we've put an awful lot of hard work in here in Ireland. What do you want to see being done with regard to the airport?
Yeah, shut it down. What we need is, we need food. We need just to keep the country going. We don't need to be letting people in here to holiday here and infect us, reinfect us. We've worked collectively together in Ireland here to keep this curve flat. And the R number now is rising. So why can't we just enjoy our own country? Keep all the other people out. And just let's enjoy the country, and we can have we can go to the pub, we can go to our restaurants, because we'll keep the numbers low ourselves. You know, if we're going to be letting people in from Texas, they don't care. It's their constitutional right not to wear a mask and all this. Like, we care about wearing masks. We care about protecting each other.
Well, most of us do, not all of us. But
don't.
So when you hear of a flight arriving in from a state in America that had 11,394 cases of COVID-19 just yesterday, that really concerns you?
Absolutely. Why can't we shut it down? Do you know what? I want to give you an example, right? Back in 29th of February, we shut down that football match. Remember the rugby match? That was closed down.
That's right.
But yes, we still let
the flights still arrive from Italy, yeah.
We still let all them flights in. So that's how this all started. Are we going to go back to square one again and let a load of Texans in now to reinfect us after everybody been shut down? My son hasn't seen his girlfriend for 3 months. Well, he did now, but he didn't break any rules. He didn't see his girlfriend for 3 months because she lived in Kildare. She was outside the zone. Right? So he didn't see her. And why now let all these Americans in to infect us? No.
Okay, so would you like to see all flights from the States stopped? Because as we know, America is particularly...
Why are we letting them efforts in to infect us all? No way, Jose.
Okay. angry over this, and I think an awful lot of people are. And by the way, it has to be said, Teresa, that flights to New York, for example, Aer Lingus daily flight to New York has run all throughout the pandemic. I live near the airport, and during lockdown, I regularly saw it taking off. Now, I understand there were hardly any people on it, but the flights still ran.
People's lives are more important than bank balances.
Okay, let's go to Una. You're on 98 FM. Hi, Una.
How are you?
Good, thanks, Una. What did you want to say on this?
Well, I want to say that my daughter got a phone call from our travel agency here that our flight has been cancelled. Chewy's is the flight she's getting. It's all inclusive. We have two children.
Right.
And my problem is that they're letting planes in, but they're not letting planes out. Now, Ryanair is running, and Chewy now is at the stopping flight, and she's not going till the end of September.
Oh, and it's been cancelled already, has it?
Yes, she got a phone call yesterday from the Cassidy's Travel there in Blandford.
But now she's in a luckier situation than some people who don't want to go on the holiday, but the flight hasn't been cancelled. And that's obviously a big concern for an awful lot of people. What's your view on hearing of a flight from Dallas, Texas, arriving into Ireland this morning?
Well, if that's the case, like the last caller, they should close all the flights down at the airport down. If that's the case.
All right, a lot of people really angry over this. This is from David.
Adrian, the problem we have with this is that it's coming in from a part of the world that don't even believe that COVID's a real thing. Like, I don't know why anyone that were on the plane this morning, but the simple fact is, like, if they don't believe that this is a thing, are they using any type of PPE? Are they washing their hands? Are they doing anything like that? I heard the government still letting planes come in. Like, if you want this to go and not live with it to go, we need to do the right things. And I don't think the government's doing the right thing.
All right. Thank you very much indeed, David. Patrick.
Good morning. How are you?
You believe that we should not be allowing flights in from anywhere in the world that has high cases of COVID-19.
Look, Adrian, we followed the rules here, well, most of us did, until the idiots who went into certain pubs. Anyway, we followed the rules. Why should we allow flights in here, Adrian, from areas that are actually bursting with COVID, you know? It shouldn't be allowed. I don't know what the government think that they're playing at.
Now, as I said, we understand there were only 16 people on that flight from Dallas this morning. I don't know who they are. I don't know if they're tourists or not, except that was the number that was on the plane. It doesn't seem like an awful lot.
It doesn't, Adrian, but look at our current number here. It was 0.5 to 0.9. Now it's gone over 1. So if one or two of those people have it and they're staying in hotels and they pass it on, and those people are going to go home to their families and they'll pass it on. They shouldn't be allowed in.
Okay, so you would like to see, because we were talking about our quarantine thing a little bit earlier on, and that's a complete waste of time. If you've half a brain, you'll know that you don't have to do it. Do you know what I mean? And that's the reality. So you would like to see all flights from the States stopped for the time being?
Either from the States or from anywhere where there is huge clusters. I mean, for God's sake, common sense. The problem is, Adrian, and I'll tell you this, the fact, I worked in Dublin Airport for over 10 years, okay, landside and airside. And I'll tell you something. Profit in regards to aviation, profit in regards to pubs comes before people's health.
And that's, well, a lot of people feel that particularly at the moment. Look, I have to take a very quick break. Stay with me for a moment. A lot of reaction to this. Flights coming in from the States. 11,394 cases of COVID-19 were confirmed yesterday alone in the American state of Texas. And as I said, if you look at the graph for Texas, it looks like Italy was back in March. That's how bad COVID-19 is in Texas at the moment. And we wish all people in Texas well in their fight against COVID-19, and hopefully they can turn the corner and beat the virus. However, if you think back to March, when we were just at the start of this here in Ireland, there was uproar over the fact that flights were still coming in from Italy. Uproar there was. Well, this morning, a flight arrived in from Texas in the United States. And we understand that there were only 16 people on it. If they do what they're supposed to do, they will self-quarantine for 2 weeks on arrival here in Ireland. But we all know that that whole system just isn't enforced properly, and it's not even law. You're advised to self-quarantine. You won't be arrested and thrown out of the country if you don't. Paul, what's your reaction to that whole story?
I think it's crazy letting flights in from anywhere. I personally believe that we should shut everything back down again.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, go back to square one. Go back to April.
Absolutely. This thing's not gone away. There's people still dying.
I know, but our case numbers are still very low.
Well, like the last caller said, we were down to 0.4, 0.5. Now we're back to 1 or over 1.
Oh, no, but I need to stress, they did say at the press conference yesterday that when you're dealing with such low numbers of cases, it's very difficult to calculate correctly the R number, and that's...
I agree, but I think we're taking 3 steps instead of 1, Edwin.
But you hardly think we should go back to April with 2 kilometre distance and all of that from your house, do you?
Absolutely. This thing's not gone away. People are still dying. When this thing has gone away, when they have a vaccine...
But Paul, you have to think about the economy. You have to think about people's livelihoods. All of that is all linked into people's health as well.
I agree with what you say about the economy, with people's employment. I mean, I haven't worked since the 27th of March.
I'm sure you'd like to get back to work, would you?
I'd love to get back to work, but I have diabetes and a heart condition, and my daughter is an asthmatic, so we're both kind of on a scale that's kind of a danger scale, if you like, that if either of us contact COVID, we could be in a... You know, in a bad way if it really got hold of us.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm to be honest with you, I'm not being flippant about this. I don't care about myself, but if I got like I've seen my daughter when she's had an asthma attack, trying to breathe, and I remember watching the documentary on TV, the guy in Italy in the hospital who couldn't breathe, and if this is the way this thing attacks your lungs and your system. I certainly don't want to be contracting COVID and bringing it back into the house where my daughter might get it. And I think, like, until a vaccine is found, until we have a proper solution to this problem, we shouldn't be taking giant steps. We're going, you only have to look at Dame Lane last week. I mean, we're going way too far.
And I know the Dame Lane thing has been trotted out all week as a worrying sign, and it was a little bit concerning and all of that, okay? But it was only one example. The vast majority of issues surrounding this are very, very small. People are behaving themselves. People are keeping their distance in the main.
In some cases, Adrian, but you know the nature of Irish people, and in a situation where they go out and they have a few beers... The 105-minute rule is not being adhered to. We know it's not being adhered to. And we know that there's not enough Gardaí. The Gardaí have enough to be doing without bloody policing the pubs every 5 minutes. You know, I mean, we've got other situations in this country where the Gardaí saying, oh, we better go down to such and such a pub and make sure that Adrian and Paul are not there more than 105 minutes. But, you know,
okay.
I mean, it's crazy, you know.
All right, well, look, let's just squeeze in a few more WhatsApp voice notes. This is from Anna.
Hey, Adrian. I just think this hysteria needs to stop. I don't think there's any need to start panicking ahead of time and demanding closure of pubs at the end of the day. I think we were living with this virus long before it was announced. Have a brother-in-law who's a paramedic, and a lot of people on that area of work believe that they were dealing with a lot of this in December. So I think we were living with it a long time before the lockdown, and it was in the community. And at the end of the day, I think we all know plenty of people who paid no attention to the lockdown or any social distancing when it was needed. And look, cases still fell. So can we stop with the hysteria and kind of get on with things? And if the proverbial hits the fan, deal with it then.
All right. Thank you very much indeed, Anna. This is from Pamela.
Adrian, my parents don't live in this country.
My husband's parents don't live in this country. I have two very small children, one of whom has only met his grandparents once when he was 2 weeks old. And both sets of parents have been told, under no uncertain terms, will they be seeing their grandchildren this side of Christmas? Because I am not letting them in to sit on a plane that could potentially be covered in COVID to come and see my children and reinfect everybody. The situation is terrible. It's awful. But you know what? We have to get rid of this. People need to stop being so selfish and just pay attention to what's going on and just, you know, do what needs to be done. It's ridiculous.
All right, Pamela, thank you. Amy wants to see a stop to flights coming in from the States.
You're not going to stop the flights coming in, realistically. Maybe stop them coming from the hotspots, all right. But you can't shut the whole country down again. I think we'll go back a couple of phases. But the problem is, when you are coming into the country, the follow-up, which is not thorough enough, they haven't got a proper strategy in place. The cabin crew are handing out forms on board that are not being collected then when passengers get to Dublin Airport. So how can you know if somebody's experiencing any symptoms, or how can anybody be followed up with if the forms that have been sent out to airlines aren't even being collected by the HSE? So they need a proper follow-up in place instead of just a phone call to say, where are you in the country? Like, that's ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? I know, adults should be responsible enough, but some people are just genuinely tick and they won't do it, do you know what I mean? But definitely they need to stop the flights coming in from the hotspots. But you have to be realistic. You're not going to stop every single flight coming into the country. We still need to, like, continue to go on with some sort of normality.
All right, Amy, thank you very much indeed. And a final WhatsApp voice note. This is from Dan.
Adrian, well, we'll all know who to blame now when there's another spike in this country, and it's all down to the stupidity of the government allowing flights from America come in, especially Texas, the most infected place in the world right now nearly, and they're just allowing these people to fly in just to get a few quid out of them that they'll spend in the pubs. It's ridiculous. They're going to infect everybody and we'll be hit with another wave and another lockdown, and everybody can blame this stupid government. Absolutely ridiculous. We're not even allowed to fly away on a holiday to Spain where the numbers are low and other places like that, but they're allowing these to fly in for a few, just to get a few quid out of them. It's absolutely ridiculous. Just ban all the flights coming in from America. It's common sense. Jesus Christ. What's wrong with the government? They're just spitting in all the health workers' faces by allowing these flights to come in. Gobshites.
All right, Dan, thank you very much indeed. Now, just to wrap up this conversation, reporter Barry White has been at Dublin Airport, and to his credit, Barry is the one that broke this story about the flight arriving in from Texas this morning. So he toddled out to Dublin Airport and spoke to some of the people arriving.
I came in from Dallas on American Airlines. There was only 16 passengers and the rest was crew. Nobody was worried about flying over. Everybody was eager to get over here. So we had to fill out a form and everything before we could enter with our passport. So they're taking it seriously, and we have to say where we're going to be staying and how long we're here and all that. So,
will you have to self-quarantine? Will you do that now for 14 days?
Sure, but I'm not going to be here 14 days.
How bad are things in Dallas and Texas?
Well, in Texas, the numbers are going up, you know, but that it kind of fluctuates in each state. So before it was California, Chicago, New York. Now it's kind of Texas, Utah, and somewhere else. So,
and are you a nurse in?
I am, yeah.
In Texas, is it?
In Texas. Yeah, yeah, we've had quite a few that have passed from it, so.
Every year I love to visit my family here because it's just very peaceful. It's a nice getaway, so.
How long are you here for, and will you do the 14-day self-quarantine now?
Yes, I will do the 14-day self-quarantine. I'm here for 5 weeks, so it's absolutely necessary. They just don't want people to spread the virus. It's an amazing rule that people have to follow. I think it's very necessary.
You know, I think it's overblown. You know, I personally don't know anybody or don't know anybody who knows anybody who has had it. And the cases that I read are very mild. They're younger people now. And there are very few hospitalizations, as I understand it. So... you know, maybe we're getting the herd immunity and the virus is maybe mutating to a perhaps a less virulent form.
Some Irish people are worried about flights coming in from America.
Right.
Do you think they shouldn't be worried? Because from what you said there, you think it's been overblown in the States?
I think it's overblown. I don't think it's
very sanitary. The cleanest flight I've been on, nicest plane even, and the staff was amazing too. There was about 15 other passengers, and they kind of let us like spread out and sit wherever we want.
Why have you come to Ireland? Is it a holiday or?
It is. I'm staying a month here with my boyfriend.
Will you do the 2-week self-quarantine?
Yes, yes. I've tried to take extra precautions. I probably shouldn't be here myself, but I have tried to take extra precautions.
All right, that was reporter Barry White at Dublin Airport earlier on. And interesting, actually, the one man in that who said he thinks the whole thing is overblown, Barry didn't actually ask him if he was going to self-isolate for 2 weeks. The others all said they would. He wasn't, I don't know if he was asked the question or maybe he didn't answer the question or whatever, but it's interesting because he strikes me as the sort of man who, if he thinks it is all overblown, he's walking around Dublin City right now. Coming in from Texas in the United States. Anyway, there you go. You're listening to 98FM's Dublin Talks. And thanks again to Barry White for that report from the airport.
98. Every morning from 10, 98FM's Dublin Talks keeps you up to date with COVID-19. Dublin Talks. Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.